11 minutes past six, the Australian government is the Grinch that stole Christmas from the world's poor, according to at least one agency, Care Australia. That's how they've headed their media release today. Because just a week before Christmas, the Australian government's now decided to take $370 million from this year's foreign aid budget and redirect it to assistance with asylum seekers who are waiting to be processed in Australia. So it'll be used to house and feed them. Is that okay? Can you switch money from overseas programs to pay for onshore refugee programs and still call that foreign aid? Because that seems to be what the government is suggesting. This is what the Foreign Minister Bob Carr had to say.
Spending money on refugees who've landed on Australian soil is as valid as spending it on refugees who are in refugee camps around the world.
Joining us now is Professor Stephen Howes, Director, Development Policy Centre from the Crawford School of Public Policy at the Australian National University. Thank you very much for speaking to us, Professor Howes.
Good evening.
This a sleight of hand? Is the government right when it says it can do this within the foreign aid budget?
Well, I think if you look at the decision in its narrowest sense, which is a decision about eligibility, then you do have to agree with the government that this sort of spending on asylum seekers when they arrive in the country they're seeking asylum is eligible to be counted as aid. So it's the OECD that determines what can and what can't be counted as aid. And they have said since, in fact, 1988, that this sort of expenditure can be counted as aid. And most countries do count this type of expenditure as a type of foreign aid. Not all countries do. So the UK has done very little of this, and traditionally Australia hasn't either. So I think it would have been better if this decision had more public debate and consultation rather than just being made by the government internally. But on the narrow issue of eligibility of this sort of expenditure as aid, I think that's not where you'd want to find fault with the government decision. I'd still be critical of it, but for other reasons than this issue of eligibility.
Which reasons?
Well, I think it's bad for the aid program, both in terms of our scaling up of the aid program and in terms of aid effectiveness. So on the first issue on scaling up, you know, Australia is still not a very generous aid donor. We're 12th out of the top 15 for generosity. And the government, and indeed the opposition, has for the last few years supported a plan to increase aid. And as you might remember, at the last budget, you know, the government somewhat watered down that commitment. They didn't increase aid by very much, and they said, we're going to get to our final target, not by 2015, but by 2016. So in that context, you could think there are two ways the government could have implemented this decision about eligibility. One is they could have said, well, look, here's $375 million of support for asylum seekers. We're going to count that as aid, and we're going to add that on top of the aid budget. So our aid budget is actually going to go up. And that's a good thing because that's our policy to increase the aid budget.
Yes.
Instead, what the government's done is said we're going to take this $375 million as aid and we're going to ask AusAid to cut its expenditure by an equivalent amount. So if you say, well, which that's what the government's done, and that sends a pretty poor signal, I think, about the government's commitment actually to increase aid over time.
And bottom line is this is money the government would have been spending anyway, foreign aid budget or not. So it's kind of a convenient reclassification, isn't it?
It's an eligible reclassification. It's convenient if given the fiscal imperatives for the government to cut aid. And I think that's the unfortunate part that we should be focusing on.
So this is a budget surplus measure, is that what you're saying?
Clearly, yes, rather than this classification issue. The second, I think, damaging aspect of this is around the effectiveness of the aid program. So I participated in the independent review of aid effectiveness that reported to the government last year. And when we did our diagnosis of, you know, what's wrong with the aid program, what needs to be improved, you know, our first heading was lack of strategic clarity. And under that, we included lack of funding predictability. So aid is a very difficult business. To give effective aid, you need long-term commitments, and for that, you need predictable funding. So the government accepted our diagnosis and indeed the recommendations. And in this budget, the government put out for the first time a four-year aid budget rather than just a one-year budget. But if you look at this decision, that has really derailed the goal of funding predictability.
Right. So won't they just cut it from what they're calling soft areas, like emergency funding? So it won't affect anything that needs predictability, but it might mean that we give less when there's a tsunami in our region, for example.
Well, I don't know, and no one knows exactly what the government's cutting, but it's almost a 10% cut to AusAid's budget. So it's a very serious cut, and you can't simply eliminate the humanitarian budget if there are natural disasters. We have to respond. So it's not clear where it's going to come, and I'm sure AusAid's scrambling to find those cuts. So if you add that uncertainty about this year to the uncertainty about what's going to happen to the aid budget in the future, and then you add to that this volatile new element of funding for asylum seekers, because so far all we've got is a number. We don't have a policy. We don't know, well, which elements are eligible, which aren't. You know, what about offshore funding? So there's a lot of uncertainty around the aid budget, and that lack of clarity, the unpredictability, I think that is going to really challenge us to on the aid effectiveness front. And I think that's the real price we're going to pay for this decision.
And just finally, the government has also signed up to a transparency charter for its aid program, and part of that is regularly updating information and data about the country program activities of AusAid. Now, it is early days. They've only announced this today. We perhaps can't say they're not being transparent just yet, but how long do we give them?
That's a good point, and as this is a major 10%, almost 10% cut, so you'd expect, you'd hope for that you wouldn't have to wait until the next budget to find out. But where I think the government could have acted much more transparently and much more clearly is to actually put out a new policy on what is eligible in relation to asylum seekers for aid or not. The fact that it hasn't put out that policy, in fact, it seems to have sort of to have been leaked. The decision's been leaked. There doesn't actually seem to be a policy on what's eligible or not. That is non-transparent. And as I said, it does undermine aid effectiveness and raises questions about the government's commitment to increase the aid budget as it's earlier promised.
Those questions will be answered in time, particularly if the government does hang on at the next election. That, of course, remains to be seen. But thank you very much, Stephen, for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Wade.
Professor Stephen Howes from the Crawford School of Public Policy at the Australian National University. Incidentally, a former chief economist with the Australian Agency for International Development, which was the forerunner to AusAid. He was also formerly with the World Bank, so he knows his stuff in this area.